A bit strange, isn't it? Huh? So if you are fainting, please don't fall on the ground. Just go and sit down. Okay? I was at Anowanbe on Friday. And I was looking at how we spend money on Anowanbes. You know, the way we do all the stuff from Ashwaipis to the money in the hall, to the musicians, to the food. Everything is really expensive. And I was just discussing with somebody, and I said, you know, these things we do, I hope we'll tend to moderate them over time. So he then told me about his experience when he was much younger and how, you know, they went to a billionaire's place. And if I said anything else beyond that, you'll probably know of her, or I've heard, you may not have heard of him, but you know the company, you know. And he said they went, but this person is not Nigerian. And this is in Nigeria, but it's not a Nigerian, really. How do you say it? Originally. So maybe he's been here for decades. So he said they went, and this man invited his dad because his mom had died and he was having a funeral. He said, and they all went. You know, the dad picked them up and they went with him. You get to the house, you drive in, you know, it's big mansion, palatial home. He said, and then they got there and it was a cocktail. He said, you know, he was warming up as a young boy. He was warming up for the kind of rice or pounded yam. He said, but when they arrived there, it was a cocktail. People were just standing up. If the first thing that struck him, there was no canopy. As they drove into this compound, he kept looking. There was no canopy. There was no sound, no musician. He said he first thought to himself, maybe daddy missed the place. Maybe this is not the venue. He said, and then they got there and they entered the house. And people were there in the man's house. And they were all just standing, you know, it was cocktail, and they all had little finger foods. And he said they didn't even give them a bottle of Coke. He said rather somebody came around and had the drinks inside cups already and gave them one cup to you. Just bring the tray and you pick a cup. And he thought, ah. He said, but everybody behaved like it was very normal. He said that he thought to himself, all these Nigerians that are used to proper Anowanbe, behaving as if this is the right way. This is it. So tonight, just behave like this is very normal. Okay, look at your neighbor. Say, this is very normal. Hallelujah. So tonight we'll look a bit, and I thought one of the best ways to deal with this is that we'll have a bit of interaction, and I hope that's fine by you. So if you get tired at any point, that's what the few chairs are for. It's for you to sit down and not fall down. Amen. So Proverbs 30, rather. Maybe we'll have somebody open that for us. Proverbs 30. I'll have somebody read that for us. Proverbs 30. That's where we'll start. And then we'll get into some people had sent some questions ahead of time, anonymously. And I think Uche will be good enough to read them to us, and we'll talk about them. Okay, we'll try to answer some of the questions. So Proverbs 30, who has found it? Verse 19. Give her a mic, please. Yeah, right here, the lady in green. Proverbs 30, no, don't let's say verse 19. No, let's start from where now? Verse 18 and 19.
Proverbs 30, verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid.
So what I wanted you to see, you know, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Any guesses? Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Huh? Most of the book of Proverbs. So yeah, let's put it that way. Any guesses? Pastor NY. Even he's smart like Nabins. How does it start? It says the Proverbs of who? Solomon. Okay, so I'm thinking if this belongs in a book, not all of it is Solomon, but if this belongs, or this, what we're reading, actually this particular chapter says is the words of Agor. Okay, but I'm looking at it and I'm saying it's categorized with the Proverbs of Solomon, who is the wisest man, or was the wisest man, and you know, on the earth, maybe he still is. Okay. If you read the Bible very well and you look at how many songs he wrote and all of that, it's thousands. It's written in the Bible. You know, and you look at it and say, this man was amazing. And then we look at that book of Proverbs and it says, there are certain things that are too wonderful for me. You know, the word wonderful is the word mysterious. Another translation says that are difficult for me to understand. And then he mentions several things and he concludes it with what? The way of a man with a maiden. That is, you know, that falling in love thing. You know, he said, even me, I find it difficult to understand this thing. So if you think to yourself, ah, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, I'm wondering, so complex, how do you define love? How would, you know, one of the common questions people ask is what? How do you know who to marry? You know, and what's one of the commonest answers you've ever heard? Anybody? Huh? Have you ever heard anybody say, you just know? Huh? You've heard that before? They say, you just know. Okay. You just got married recently. How do you know? Huh? You just knew. Uh-huh. How do you know? You had a vision. He appeared in your dream.
Did he appear in my dream?
Uh-huh. So, in quotes, of all the toasters you have had, how did you see this one? You know, one of the things I tell people, how many people know, you know, Harry and Meghan? You know Harry and Meghan? You know, one of the most mysterious things about them is that they married. It's one of the most mysterious. Harry is known as the playboy of the royal family. You know, the one that is very unserious, the one that liked partying, the one that had many girlfriends and all of that. And then all of a sudden, Prince Harry meets Meghan. And within 6 months, he said, I won't marry. So they say, this guy, he's dated somebody else for years. He never, you know, talked of marriage. Then he met this one. And in 6 months, the guy said, I won't marry. Everybody said, what's going on here? What exactly is going on here? So that's what Solomon is talking about. Or that's what this is talking about, okay? That is mysterious. It's quite difficult to appreciate, to understand. I saw somebody's post. And I went with someone who is his friend. And I started off somewhere else. And I told her, I said, where I'm going, and then she began, I started talking about certain characteristics I could tell from his post, and then she says, in fact, I told him that I was going to report him to you, that there's something he had done, and then she started talking about his relationship with a lady, and then I smiled. I mean, when I first said, I want to talk to you about this person, she first smiled, and I said, why are you smiling? So when I said all my own bit, she now smiled and said, actually, it's about relationship. Then I said, actually, that's where I was going. I said, this is his last post, but I wanted to show a pattern first of something before I get to that particular area of his life. And then we now discuss that in detail and the issues that there are with that particular issue. Okay? But one of the best ways we can tease out this difficult to understand thing is to talk about it by way of hearing what people want to know. Abi? You know, also, I was thinking about the fact that when I was in medical school, I had a friend, and he was lovesick. You know lovesickness? How many people know lovesickness? You know it. Only two people are honest in this room. The rest of you, the spirit of lying. So, he was lovesick. And then I said, what's, you know, love sick is in the Bible. Do you know that? You don't know it's in the Bible. Yes, sir. There's the story of one of David's sons called what? Amnon. And he had a sister called what? Tamar. And the Bible says that Amnon loved Tamar with a love with which he was sick. So he was sick. He couldn't eat. He was just there. And then his friend said, what's wrong with you? He said, I love my sister Tamar. And then they plotted blah, 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 and he raped Tamar. And then the moment he did that, the Bible says that the hatred with which he hated her was more than the love with which he loved her before he raped her. Okay, that speaks a bit to premarital sex. Okay, but maybe we'll come back there. Hold that one in your left hand. Okay? So he was lovesick. This, my friend, was lovesick. And then I said, what's he? He said, it's this lady. Ah! So, and I watched my friend being sick, lovesick. So I said, okay. One evening I said, we're going to solve this problem. Because part of his problem was he didn't know if this lady loved him, you know, the same way that he felt about her, if he felt the same way. So I said, we're going to find out. So we went out for a concert, and then the lady was to join us, so three of us. So I said, don't worry, today I am Dr. Love. I will diagnose for you, you know, whether there is a way or there's no way there. So when we did, we got on the road, and when we finished and we're going back to the car, the lady was out beside me on the road side. The guy was here, and then a car was coming. So I pulled and I said, ah, please, 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 come this way, come this way, come this way. I said, otherwise, somebody here now will be very upset if a car hits you. And she chuckled. I said, she has it too, you know. So we got back and I said to the guy, I said, she likes you. I said, see, I've given her a test today now. And she feels the same way. So eventually, one day, this guy then went to her and he asked her out. Abi, do they still say that? You still ask people out? I need to double check. You know, so he asked her out. She said yes. And then my friend and I went home. I waited when he went on a walk and he asked her out. And then he came back. Me, I suffered waiting for about 2 hours for them. Then he came back, he got in the car, we went home. And then we got home. And my friend went and lay on the bed. I was looking. He was just looking. I said, let's go and eat now. He was just looking. I said, what's the problem? He said, she said yes. I said, that's what we have been looking for since now. He said, yes, but what am I going to do now? Now that she has said yes, what am I going to do? So this love thing is very serious. Eh? She didn't say yes, it's wahala. Or she hadn't said yes, wahala. Now she said yes, we are in another wahala. Okay, so let's, and maybe if people have questions, how many people have questions or things you like talked about here tonight? How many people? So that I'll know that it's not just, there are a few questions there. I just want to know if there are people who hadn't sent in anything and want to ask. Okay, so maybe let's start with the first one. Grab a mic. Let's start with the first question.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Come to the...
Okay, good evening. Okay, before I step up with the first question, a friend of mine called me yesterday, and then he said, Uche, help me out. I need help. He said his girlfriend received 2 iPhones as Valentine gifts, but not from him. She received an iPhone X and I think iPhone 13. And then he said he bought perfume and I think something else for the girl. Now he said, Uche, I think he's feeling insecure right now. So he said, what do I do? Now this is another question because I don't know what to do or what to tell him. So I'm asking now, what do you think he should do? Is that a red flag to, you know, for him to drop the relationship, or should he continue and, you know? Okay, moving straight to my first question, which is...
That's a question. Yeah.
It's a question, right?
It's asked a question. You didn't hear the question. You didn't hear it.
Okay. So I said, a friend of mine, Valentine's Day yesterday, his...
Yesterday,
girlfriend.
2 days ago, okay.
2 days ago, his girlfriend got 2 gifts. One was an iPhone X, and one was, I think, a Pro 13. And then, you know, this gift did not come from him. Somebody else gave that to the girlfriend, or probably 2 other persons. And then he's saying he gave the girlfriend a perfume and something else. Now he's insecure. He's saying, what do I do? So I'm throwing the question out. Help me, help him. What should he do? Should he drop the relationship or go on with it. Or, I don't know, is that a red flag?
Okay, we'll drink to that one. So I hope the drinks and things are ready. So we'll start drinking to it. But you can, yes, you can answer the question. Eh? Okay, what color of flag is it? Yes. Microphone. What? Pastor, I mean.
Okay, so I would say that it's a yes and a no red flag. While I would say it's a yes is there has to be communication. For him, he can't be insecure just because his girlfriend is getting gifts. Valentine's, usually people give gifts to people that they have a crush on, they want to ask out, they like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something going on. Do you understand? So she got those gifts, no problem. The next thing is for him to have a discussion. Communication is very key. Have a discussion with her and ask her how far and all that. And if there is trust, they move on. If there is no trust, that's also a red flag.
Mm. Well, let me extend that a little bit. You know, very often people talk about the fact that a single woman has to, I'm trying to find the right words, has to hide her success. For instance, you understand? So a single woman, I think it's a bit connected. That's why I'm raising this now. They feel that a single woman can't, you know, drive a fine car, can't live in her own place. Even if she works and her job is, or her occupation is enough to give her that kind of thing. They say, if you are like this, you will never marry. Abi? Uh-huh. So I think it's the reason why I think it's connected is because of that security. You understand? That insecurity of the guy. And I think that communication is indeed a key part of it. You understand? The fact that somebody got something, maybe she can even share one with him. Maybe he will even collect one of the phones. I'll be using that one. It shouldn't affect, I mean, your security. You are who you are. And if indeed, then she begins to be somehow, then maybe they're not meant to be together. Abi, were you raising your hand? No. Okay, so, yes. So, don't hold back. You can start serving. When you are set.
This is one very
interesting. It's an informal time, so don't worry. It's not a typical service.
I think I love that question. It's a very interesting one. A lot of times you see this has affected a lot of marriages. You have a lot of people who can't stand their wife's success. Most times it happens from the other way, but it's very, very known and seen when it happens to the woman mostly, because some people just feel the woman should be in the kitchen, the woman should be at the backyard and something like that. Should be, you know, never grow past certain level. So you have some men who can't allow their wife thrive, succeed. They are scared, like, she's going to control me now or something like that. No. Real men should allow their woman to shine. Because when the woman is seen doing well, in as much as God gets the glory, the man gets the prize. Because what's her name? Mrs. The Man. Hallelujah. So if you are not helping the woman in your life to shine, you are actually limiting yourself, because you will struggle for life. Then you will not say, suffer and suffer. I remember the first time I met Mrs. Sarge, the first thing I told her was, I want to make you better. And that's it. Whether she shines, she gets an aeroplane or anything, she's Mrs. Sajiri. And that's the beautiful part of it. So insecurity shouldn't be there.
Okay. From the angle of the married
people. I would understand that. But for me, I know some of my guys were saying, you know, let me not push it too far anyway. But, you know, the way relationship is now is not the way it is then.
Tell us. Tell us how it is. Tell us how it is now.
Ma, somebody wants to answer.
Tell us the way it is
Sorry,
now.
Sorry, I think to add to what everyone has been saying, I just want to ask, if the guy, if I knew the person and he asked me the question, I'll ask him back, how well do you know her? So it will help, the level of knowledge about his woman will help. Because if I'm maybe in a relationship with someone, the person should be able to tell if I'm materialistic, if I'm someone that will look outside, outside my box. So he should be able to know the kind of person he's in a relationship with. So I always tell people, everyone in my life is my sweetheart, is my darling. So if I'm in a relationship with you and I call someone sweetheart and you get angry, oh boy, you never start. Like, you never start. So I think he should be able to know the kind of woman he's in a relationship with. That will help him answer a lot of questions, not just now, but later. Because his wedding day, maybe if someone buys her a car, and maybe he has a Honda and someone buys her a Range Rover, will he tell her to return it? That's it. He should know the kind of woman he's in a relationship with. If he hasn't known her, he should learn to know her.
Does that also speak to trust? Yes, also to trust a little bit, you know, but at least knowing her first, and also knowing that no relationship survives if there's no trust. So if you really can't trust her because you know who she is, then you really have a serious problem. The foundation of that relationship is very shaky. You know, you should know her enough to say, now you should discuss it, but you should know her enough to know that this really doesn't change anything. Just because she got this and that doesn't change anything. You understand? But yes, you should have a discussion about it.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So we have to be very careful. The way my parents dated wasn't the way I dated. And it's not the way you Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Y will date. But we always come back to the basics.
Yep.
Because the foundations are always the same. You need to go back. You see, if you want to build a house, even the people that are building the sky, houses in the sky, they have a foundation. Whether you say the house is in the sky or they built it in water or anywhere, it has a foundation. Love is love. You cannot say the way we date this age is different. That's why you have a problem. When we were growing up and we were being told this is how to do it, and we were doing our head as egos, this is how we want to do it. At the end of the day, you calm down and go back to how it was in the beginning. Because once you miss it, then you forever miss it. Now, the other thing about the person and the gift. If she went to him and said, look, Oga, I have an iPhone X and I have a Pro Max, then he has a problem if he doesn't know that he has a white flag. Because if he eat it and he found out, it's a different thing. But if she came to you and said, Oga, give me you, and she's still with you that evening, I have seen her. And although the network went out that night day, so I see with you that, and then you're asking questions, then you need to ask yourself, that guy needs to ask himself, what exactly am I doing? But all this one that the way they used to do relationship then and now is different. It will put everybody in problem.
Okay, I like that statement of certain principles remain. Okay? Certain principles, yes. Well, come. Don't stay at the back there. So certain principles remain. Please don't forget that. Certain principles are common across generations.
Praise the Lord. Okay, but I have a little comment to that, sir. I'm sorry. But what if she keeps... Sorry, to the other thing. But what if the lady keeps receiving gifts like that consistently? It's just iPhone now. What if it's a car next time?
Okay, let me just say first before you say something, which is that there are dimensions to this, actually, that we haven't probed. So you are probing some more. Okay, there are dimensions to this that if we probed and probed and probed, we would get into so many other things. Okay, so these answers are just based on what he said. He actually had some questions, but I didn't want to go there so that we don't spend the whole evening dealing with that alone. Okay? So it's also good that people know that what we are dealing with is just a little strip of it. So that's another dimension. That if this is a repeated pattern, there are many sides to that that one should ask questions about. Okay, we may not be able to get to all of it, but let's hear Pastor NY.
So this is going to be very hilarious, okay? If you have a jewel that doesn't appeal to other people, then it's no jewel. Forget it. So if anybody gives my wife a gift, I will use it. Believe you me, I will use it, I will ride it till it dies. Finish. So if he says it keeps happening and happening, if someone is going to give you a gift and drops it to your house, do you have a power over it? Hold on, do you have a power over it? No. So it's not every gift that you solicit for. And a certain man has said something now. You have to find out the conditions where she keeps receiving gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts. But you, even as you as a man, as a boy, where are all of them? How do you ask the question? It's true. When you like somebody, when I was in secondary school, you would take your money and you buy something and go and give the girl, right? Now, the girl, you know that the girl has somebody. Then you, it's true now. So if they are doing it to your girl now, it's payback time.
Okay. So there's an element even of where the gift is sent anonymously. She doesn't even know who. There's an element of where she knows who. There's a time to return gifts. Okay? There's a time also that certain gifts come. She knows who it came from. And she needs to give it back and say, take, I don't want this. You understand? So there are different sides to it that one can probe further. So there are gifts she needs to return. Because she knows the person. She knows why. She knows all of that. She needs to return certain gifts and say, take. Okay? But I hope the little bit we've said, you know, and I hope you can help him.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Our second question for today. This one is almost closely related to the first one. It says, "Why do most ladies ignore red flags?" Okay. Let me start from me. For me, I would say one of the red flags.
Did everybody hear the question? These are questions that people, real people, we didn't form questions. Real people sent it, so a little site or whatever was created for anonymous questions. So people sent in questions anonymously. We don't know who, it's not him. So he's just reading them all out, okay? And one question is what? Why do most ladies ignore red flags? I would not use the word most. I would just say, why do many ladies, I won't say most, ignore red flags? So why does that happen? There are red flags. I mean, we talked about color of flag now. And it says some people ignore them. So why?
Yeah. Because I think for me, one of the red flags I would say is I don't like ladies who talk too much. I had a friend say he doesn't like people with body odor. You know, the more we talk about this, it will help probably organize yourself better for the market. I don't know. I'm just using that. But the question still remains, why do many people ignore red flags?
So I like that you changed it from ladies, because it's not just ladies that ignore red flags. But why do people ignore red flags in relationships? Well, why? I mean, other people can see that there's a problem. In fact, you can almost see. You know, the person can almost see, but they look like they just keep going on and on into it and with it, and you're wondering, why do they do that?
Okay, so let me just, hit this a little. A pastor shared with us, he said he was in a car wash, washing his car, and then he saw this guy dragging this lady, you know, a very rough way. He got there and then said, "Oga, please leave this lady, let her go home." Guess the lady's reply. He said, "Oga, mind your business." So you can see, this is part of what we're talking about. So the question is for everybody. It's both for ladies and for the guys. Why do guys ignore red flags? Why do ladies ignore red flags?
You know, I see many hands going up, but When he said that story now, I tell you that research-wise, there have been communities that have been found. You know, people talk about gender-based violence, and usually mostly men beating women, mostly. But there are communities where the man beating his wife is a sign of love. No, that's been found by research. So people have raised the question of how do we, you know, change it in that kind of community. So where they are brought up to think that if your husband doesn't beat you, he doesn't love you. But that's not our question tonight. That's just a little teaser. So Chioma, you had your hand up. Okay. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. So I'll say there are many reasons, but I'm going to give two reasons that I feel like they are the main one for me. I think the first one is the fear of being single. A lot of people are afraid to leave a toxic relationship because they feel like being alone will not favor them. So that's one of the reasons why people stay with in a toxic relationship. And then the second one is the benefits they get from the person. So those are the two.
Okay, good. So two things, and I think both are quite valid, isn't it? Is what? The first one, fear of being alone. So some people can't enjoy their own company. You know, they can't be by themselves and enjoy themselves, you know, engage themselves, have things they do. You know, I just love to be alone and read a book. I can spend my time and the whole day by myself and I'm fine. So some people can't do that, okay? And then the second one is the benefits, whether money comes, whether this comes or that comes. Okay, any other reasons people know? No, I don't want you to speak yet. Okay, Toby, it's for us youth.
Yeah.
It's for us youth, not for you.
Okay, so I think another reason is that the person that is the victim, I think they have so much faith in the person that the person will change when they get married. They just believe and they believe that person, whatever they have to endure at that part, and that particular point that is worth enduring, because by the time that it's official, it's legal, when they are married, the person is definitely going to change.
As we pick out the problems, can we also kind of quickly say an antidote? You understand? Yeah, because at the end of the day, we say that if people are going to go into marriage, for instance, you need to go in whole. You need to go in a person who is bringing something, not somebody who needs something. You don't go in needy. You go in being a blessing. So if my problem was that I fear loneliness, what do I do? How do I fix that? Sorry?
Finding yourself, knowing what makes you happy, what
being with people or being with somebody?
No, like...
I'm just pulling your legs there. Okay, so knowing yourself and beginning to find other ways to maximize your time. You know, whether you get more involved in church, you get more involved in reading books, you get more involved in developing yourself, you find other ways to engage yourself. Okay, good. The second one, benefits. You know, in recent times, one of the interesting things I've found is that you sit at a restaurant table, you have men and women, and you eat. They come, they bring the bill to the man. You know, and in recent years, I've seen women who get angry. And they go, what do you mean? Why do you come and give it to a man? You mean we can't afford it? And I thought, nice. Okay, so what's that? The woman is saying, I should be able to stand and fend for myself. I don't need a man to do that for me. Abi? So, again, we shouldn't. But again, sometimes that's what? That's an ex. For the woman, is what? Is the expression of love. No, but you sound more like you are thinking of dependency. Yes. So, that dependency, we need to remove that. You know, some people were doing interview to enter university, and they were asking them, what do you want to be? And then a girl wrote, I want to be first lady. You know, so I want to be first lady. And they thought, why not governor? Why did you think that you have to be first lady? You know, which depends on somebody else. Why not be governor yourself? Okay, so that's the kind of thing we're talking about. All right? And then this, what did Toby just say now? Sorry? Believing the person
about believing that the person will change when they get married. And I think the solution to that, or the antidote, like you said, to that, is to actually have people that you are accountable to, that you have, that you respect, that can actually be very objective to give you feedback. Because as long as you are in that state, you will, I think there's something about love that just blinds you in that time, and it will happen when you get married. Not like I'm married, but from the things I've heard and seen on social media. So I think that is one way to go about it.
So, Oga, you are married. Should anybody marry because the person will change? Do you think so?
No.
Because you have been married.
Anybody who believes, who live in and believe in that, I can change him, I can change her, is only living in a foolish island. You know why? Because nobody gets changed because you think they can change. It's a self thing. If you determine to change, you can change. But that you want to change because of the other person, most times it doesn't work that way. And so I've seen a lot of people who live in regrets because I thought I could change him. I've done everything to change him. They spend their whole life trying to change someone when another person born, when he don't kick, when enough he change. And you think you can change, except is a transformation that comes from God, a divine encounter that can change such person. I've seen robbers change. I've seen criminals change. That can happen. But that, for inside this relationship, let me just manage this bad guy. They go, you go change. I go change. I'm lie. You hit rock. It doesn't work.
Let me give you a little tip. When I counsel people and they want to marry, what I ask them a question. And I say, what do you not like in that him or her? You know, is there anything you don't like? You know, and then they ramble, they say something or the other. And I tell them, you know why I ask that question? I said, because whatever it is that you can see and you don't like will probably get worse when you get married. And I said, there's a simple reason. I'm not prophesying. There's a simple reason. You sparsely see him now, okay? But then you're going to be closer and you'll be seeing him all the time. So that thing that you were seeing, even from a distance, you will see it clearer. And you will see it more often. So it will get worse. Even if it's not worse, it's just the way it was. But now that you are seeing it more often, it will look worse to you than it was before. So I said, so you need to ask yourself the question, can I deal with this? Even if that person doesn't change, can I stand this? Can I deal with this? Okay? You were going to say something. Yes.
I think there's no one size fits all to this particular answer. It depends on, there are different reasons why people will want to ignore red flag. I'll just give two. The first one, I think, is fear of the unknown, close to what she said. He slaps me once a day. What if I leave him?
Just hold on. I think there are many people chatting around the place. So please, stop the chatting. Let's move closer. It's not chatting all around. It's informal, but let's pay attention and let's participate. Yes, sorry, carry on.
Like I said, first, fear of the unknown. You might feel, okay, he slaps me once a day. What if I leave him and meet someone that slaps me 10 times a day? First thing, okay, the antidote to that for me is, it might not work for everybody. Tell yourself that you don't deserve mediocrity. You deserve better. So if you're going to wait for the right person to come, it's better to wait longer and then get the person you deserve, person you desire. So if it's because of what people will say and all of that, you don't know what the other person will be. What if you tell yourself that the next person might be better? So then you've taken away that fear. Now, the second reason I think is lack of confidence. You feel that you're not good enough. You feel that, this person should marry you. Or you feel that maybe you're going too far in age. You're too old and the person might decide to leave you. So, but what if you tell yourself that despite your age, you might be good at one thing out of five. Why not work on that one thing? build on that one thing, then there'll be 10 other men looking for that one thing in you. Maybe there are 10 men looking for different things, but maybe there'll be, out of 10, maybe 8 will be looking for that one thing you are able to work on. So if you're 20% in other things, try to build on your strong point. Look for your strong point. Build on it till it gets across half the line. Thank you.
Great. Great, thank you. So, yes, all right.
Yes, part of the things that was on my mind also was about the age that she mentioned. Because I have, like, a lot of people that they'll be like, I'm so age, oh. If I leave this one now, will I see somebody that will accept me with my age? So sometimes when you are with somebody, you just try and tolerate the person because of your age. So I feel that alone should be worked on. Then the second one is about peer pressure.
What age is the limit?
I don't know. For me, some people might be 25 and they will still think they are too old. Some people will be 23, they will think they are too old. Some people will be 30 and they will be okay with it. That's why there are different set of people in this life.
And that's why I asked the question. Because I'm trying to point out that it's just a problem in the mind.
Exactly.
It's not about a particular age, really.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's just how you think. So you may be 21 and you think, life is passing me by. Will I find anybody? And you are just 21, you know.
Yes, and the second thing I'll talk about is the peer pressure. We know out there, there's peer pressure, sha. Let me just put it like that.
Okay, so Proverbs 10. I'll add my own reasons. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Who has a free hand? Who has a free hand? I can look at Proverbs 10, 12. Everybody's hand is, your hands are full. Okay, Toby is also trying there. Okay, Proverbs 10, 12. I wanted somebody to read it out also. Yes.
Hatred stirs up strife,
yes,
but love covers all sins.
Yes. So when you are emotionally involved with somebody, there is also a very good chance that you would ignore many things. Okay? You like this person. And that's also where accountability comes in. Okay? Where you have people who are accountability figures in your life. And they can see things that you are refusing to see, so to speak. And they can ask or raise issues with those things because they can see those things. This is the biblical translation of love is blind. Okay, this is the biblical interpretation of love is blind, which is you just keep covering, giving excuses. It's love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. You know, you cover a multitude of sin. He talks about that in James. You cover a multitude of sin. You understand? That is love. Love is blind. But the accountability figures around you, usually, again, I ask people, what do your parents think about this person? What do your siblings think about this person? What does your pastor think about this person? I'm asking that question because I'm saying all of those people have nothing on a good day to get out of you. You understand what I'm saying? They want you to be happy and all of that. But if they've met that person, what's their impression? Did they warm up to the person? Were they happy or were they reserved? Or did they say certain things that were not too good about the person? I tell them, it doesn't mean they're right, but pay attention to what they said and look at it again because you might not be seeing the things clearly, okay? And of course, another reason, so I've given you the problem and the antidote. Another reason is what? Sex. Sex. Once there's sex, there tends to be a lot of compromise. Okay? Once you get into bed with somebody, there tends to be a lot of compromise. There are many things. I mean, I've seen people when we're in school who were living with a guy, and the guy will beat them silly. I mean, beat silly. And the lady will still be back there. And you're wondering, because she has given up too much, it's difficult to walk away. You understand? I'm not saying that it's not always, but also if you look at it biblically, the Bible says, just like a man and a woman, it talks about it in 1 Corinthians 6, between a man and a prostitute. So what does that mean to us? If you join to the prostitute, you become one flesh. Just like he said of the man and the woman becoming one flesh. What does it mean? It means also that when I have sex with somebody, I'm arching covenant. So there's a bond that is stronger than normal. Are you with me? It's breakable, but it's a very strong bond. And once that is also there, you find out that people ignore so many things because they just keep going on and on because there has been this covenant between them and the other person. Okay? Now the whole place became very quiet. When I said that, it became very quiet. But the big deal or the antidote there is what? Don't sleep with anybody you're not married to. Okay? Let somebody say amen.
Okay. The last word Pastor just Setman just said now, don't sleep with anyone you are not married to, is just pushing us straight to our next question. This question says, let me read it from here. It said, you are in a relationship, but she sees sex as compulsory, or else she might think I don't love her. If I don't have sex with her, that she would think he doesn't love her if he doesn't have sex with her. Now, trying to live as a young, growing Christian, do I stop the relationship even though she has been supportive, or what do I do?
Please.
You know, make her understand.
Make her understand. Bring her to church. Okay, great. You know, it's the word compulsory that I found interesting. That she said what?
Sees sex as compulsory.
She sees it as compulsory.
Or else.
Compulsory. Sorry, I find that very interesting. You know, many years ago, I was speaking at a Redeemed youth church, and I was talking along those lines to them. And I was giving an illustration. You know, when somebody dies in, have a field or a branch of medicine where you do autopsies, and I'm sure most of us have heard of autopsies. The purpose of the autopsy is you want to know what killed the person. So you're looking, trying to make a diagnosis, okay, what killed this person. And I told them, I said, you know, in all the reading, in all the years of medicine and all that, I've yet to hear that they did an autopsy and they said this person died for lack of sex. Huh? So that compulsory, a lie. are you still there? A lie. There's nothing like that. So the fact that somebody says no, we must, it's not true. In fact, the other bit I tend to hear or I used to hear was people would talk about the fact that. If they put it this way, they say if he loves you, he won't sleep with you. Abi? I say that's a half truth. It's a half truth. Because if he really does like you, he wants to sleep with you. Okay? But he's not doing it, is because he's living by certain principles. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what perhaps will take you to what real love really is. Okay? So he would want to. He would be tempted to. He would really want to do so. But if he's fighting it, resisting it, avoiding it, that's really because he really loves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he doesn't, then he doesn't mind sleeping with you. There's no big deal. We're talking, if you're a believer, of course. You know, because if you're a believer, he doesn't want to do that. Number one, he knows that he's violating what you believe. He's violating what he believes, and he's violating what you believe, which is your accountability to God, which basically says no sex before marriage. So he won't want to, not in the sense that he doesn't feel like, but in the sense that he's holding himself back, struggling with himself to say, no, I don't want to do this, because this is going to put us in a bad shape before God and between ourselves. You know, I spoke about Amnon and Tamar earlier. When you have people who are very accountable to God, and you go have sex, it's a very risky thing that can damage completely that relationship, even if that relationship is of God. You know, do you know what I mean? So I said, Amnon and Tamar. Amnon said, I'm lovesick. Okay? Then he grabs Tamar and he rapes her. And the Bible says he pushed her, chased her out of the place. Ah, lady said, after you rape me like this, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. But the Bible said the hatred with which he hated her now was more than the love. Okay? Very often, especially if you're a child of God, you'll find that that will completely damage even that relationship if you are not careful. You might get to the place where you can't stand the person or you almost feel like this person is standing in the way of my walk with God. How many people do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are looking at me like I fell from Jupiter. Eh? You understand what I'm saying? Because as you want to walk with God and please Him, you start feeling like this person is a devil. Or he is a devil or she is a devil. So the word compulsory is what took me to all of that. I don't understand the word compulsory. Okay? Everybody is quiet when we start talking along those lines. You act like you have never heard it before. Eh? Are we good?
Yes,
are we
sir.
Okay? Are we fine?
Yes, sir.
We're in agreement. We're on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Okay, the next question. How do one tackle the future in-laws who seem to be consistent problem in one's relationship? How do we tackle future in-laws who seem to be consistent problem in one's relationship?
Let me try. Because you can only try.
I can't see you.
Okay. I feel it's the responsibility of both parties, the husband and wife, to handle your in-laws. So in a situation where, for example, when I was dating my... That's what I said. I said it, for example. So I want to give an... In a relationship. And that's why I want to answer.
So did everybody hear the question to start with? So I assume this is somebody... So this is a serious. This is a serious relationship now. They are thinking of getting married, but
when you are married. I want to talk about before we got married.
That is before getting married that the person is asking and saying, "You are already seeing that these in-laws are difficult. How do you handle them?"
That's what I'm saying. It's the responsibility of the two people that are in a relationship.
Okay.
Because if you don't protect the person you are going out with your parents, then there's a problem. So, for example, you are going out with a girl, and a guy is going out with a girl, and then his mother is always attacking her, and he's just standing and looking. It doesn't work that way. You have to be able to handle your mom in such a way that she will understand, and understand that she has to treat you with respect. So there are some things that my husband told me about my mother-in-law before we got married that I understood and I knew how to navigate it. So, for example, if I see her, I know what to do. But if I don't do those things, I would be in trouble with her. Do you understand? So if the responsibility of the guy to let the person he's in a relationship with know the kind of woman the mother is. Because you know your mom too well. You know how to get her. So if she also knows how to get your mom, then it's a plus for you. Of course, some people, that's why I said I would try. Some people are very difficult, and it's only prayer that can help you. But in a normal situation where the parents are reasonable people, as long as you know them to an extent, even before you start a relationship with them, it will be easy for you. Do you understand? So, for example, if you meet a woman that when you see her, you have to kneel down with your two knees. When you see her, the first, kneel down with your two knees. That's where the relationship starts from. But if you see her and you are just standing and you are saying hi, there's a problem. No woman wants to be disrespected, even if you are coming to marry her son. So you have to give her the respect that she deserves, and it's vice versa.
Thank you, Ma.
Okay. Are we fine? Yeah? We're fine. How many people have difficult, difficult family? How many people? You have difficult family. Very difficult. That your parents and siblings, you know that they are difficult people. Don't worry, the camera won't catch you, so they won't know. Huh? Everybody is posing now and for me. Huh? Okay, how many people have ever been offended by seriously offended by your family? What did you do to them? Huh? You forgive them. So why not your in-law? Are we? Why not your in-laws? So, in my view, I think that people tend to put in-law in a special category. She even already said mother-in-law. So, and then I tend to ask people, I say, why do you think that many men don't seem to have problem with father-in-law? Or whatever, you understand? Why? But where there have been men who have been... Yes, but have you ever heard of a man? Majority means that they are men, but have you ever seen men who get so much into anything? Why not? No.
Forget it. Do you understand? So if I truly brought an Igbo man home, he will say no. And there is nothing I will say that he will agree.
That's what you will think.
Do you understand? No, I know.
I will tell you. Except well, man, I can tell you at least.
I know.
No, hold on.
I saw him in action.
Yes, I know. I can tell you at least two stories or people who told me like this and they said to my face, it cannot happen. And it happened.
And
they sat down and I told them, I said, are you convinced that this is God's will, first and foremost? Say yes. So in fact, there was one where the lady told me, I will bring somebody who's not here, Yoruba, blah, blah, blah. But this is the guy she wants to marry. So I smiled. Incidentally, I knew the mom. She sold stuff somewhere and I used to buy things from her. So I said, that's your mom? She said, yeah, but that bias, she can't even hear. I said, relax. The Bible says a gentle tongue breaks a bone. I said, so it's about patience, it's about conduct, okay? And if you will play it right, then they will come to your side eventually. It won't happen tomorrow, it won't happen in 1 month. I can't promise you it will happen in 6 months.
If you can wait for like 10 years.
Well, as we are saying it, I know three cases at least.
If you can wait.
You understand? Where people have sworn and said, no, it's not possible. They will not accept. And eventually, they married with the parental blessing, with parents throwing agbada and all. Okay? So, I understand the difficulty sometimes, but again, many times, it's almost like when we say God's word doesn't work for us. Many times, we didn't work it. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that we didn't work it as we should, and patiently, meaning you stay with it. Okay? And that's why I asked you that. Do you have siblings that are difficult? Do you have parents that are difficult? What do? You forgive them. You move on. They do something, you ignore this one. That one, you forgive. You know, and all of that. Do the same with in-laws. Okay? I'm not saying they won't be difficult, but I tell you what, love always wins. Amen.
Amen.
Walking in love always wins. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Okay. Now I think we're getting hot here. This one says... How do I keep romance alive in my marriage? Okay. I believe the romance here is not talking about just sex alone. So, the mic is here.
I just want to say something. Just like you said, not sex alone. Majority of men feel sex is being romantic. Sometimes the woman just wants to be cuddled, spoiled, taken out. You are coming from somewhere, buy ice cream. You are coming, buy a flower. You are doing this. But sometimes, do you understand what I'm saying? Even when you are spoiling her sometimes, it is leading towards at the end of the day. But why not just do something that will not lead to the bedroom at the end of the day? Do you get? So it's difficult, truly, especially when you work, you are tired and all that. And sometimes there is no money to do what you want to do. But the little things really matter. Do you understand? So sometimes she's sitting down, just go near her, hug her, peck her, go away. It's being romantic and it's keeping the love, you know, there. Sometimes she doesn't feel like, sometimes she won't even talk. Like me, sometimes I don't talk. And my husband will disturb me. Sometimes he will leave me alone. Do you understand? But you also have to understand the person that you are married to and know the things that the person you are married to likes. It's very, very important. Very important. Very, very important. So the little things are the ones that count, not the gym thing.
Mommy D is in the building.
Sorry, how many people are interested in these answers? Eh? You're interested? Okay. How many years have you been married, sir?
How old are you? I think 17, right? 17 years. So, first off, why would I spend money on flowers that will die off at night? Add in money. So, I should buy fake ones. That's all I said, I should buy fake flowers. So, honestly, now, you know what some people need to show they are romantic, sometimes to you, it's just like, what's this? So, but if it's the flowers that will give you peace of mind. Please, go and buy the flowers. Like this Desola said, I think it's a good one. This Desola says you buy fake ones. But on a serious note, sometimes, like she said, it doesn't come to across to you that little things matter. Okay? So, but you should go all the way to do those things. It's not, being romantic is, there are different definitions. You know, someone will see you open a door for your wife at the party and they'll be like, wow, that's romantic. Yeah, it's not even about being a lady. You know, some ladies want you to open door for them even though they are not, I don't know.
Sorry, let me, can I chip in? Because you are married now. Do men need romance?
Yes. Huh? Yes, because it's not about sex. So sometimes we need the care, you know. We need that listening here also. Uh-huh.
So I asked it because when they say that now, the women think, you should do this for me. You should do that for me. And I'm thinking, okay, do you think that men also don't need, you know, to come and rub his head? I mean, and rub his back. You think men too don't need that? You think they don't need ice cream on your way home? Okay, so it's two-way. Yes. No, we're fine. We can.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do one more question.
Okay, one more. This one says, I am a young guy, ambitious, and trying to build a life before getting married or being settled for marriage. My ex once told me we should get married, but it did not work out for some reasons. Now I'm in a new relationship, a year old. Same thing is reoccurring, where the girl is saying we should get married, but I don't want to rush into it. But it takes time to build a foundation and my career before marriage. Now, okay, sorry, it says, how do I make her understand before she's saying I'm wasting her time?
Okay. I think it's a good question. I think embedded in it is when should I start dating somebody? I think that's another way to turn that question around. Is that when should I date somebody? How long should we cut for? I mean, I think that's what the question really is. It says I'm not ready. I'm not in a hurry. I'm trying to build my career. But then the first one say I wasn't ready to marry. She gave me breakfast. I mean, she served me breakfast. I mean, breakfast. Said this new one too is already preparing breakfast. I'm saying they are not ready. So when do you get in a serious relationship or in a relationship at all? Because I don't think you should be in an unserious one. So when should you get in a relationship at all? Yes.
Right. So I would say that. I would say that for him, since this is the second one, if he's not ready to get married, he shouldn't go into a relationship yet. He can have the person, he can be scoping somebody. Unfortunately, somebody can come and scope her too. Do you understand? But the truth of the matter is that if he's not ready for marriage, then why go into a relationship? And it also depends on the age. So if you are of a marriageable age, right, and you don't want to get married yet, you have your reasons, don't go into a relationship. If you are of a marriageable age and you are ready, why are you also just going out with somebody and you don't want to settle down? It's a question you should ask yourself. The truth of the matter is that you don't have to have everything before you get married. Your house, my house was not decorated when I got married. I didn't have a chair. That's the
really?
Truth. Yeah, we didn't have a chair. We didn't have a chair.
MY?
Yeah. It was when he knew that I was going to come from Ibadan, because I was in Ibadan, he was in Lagos. Then he started, do you understand? But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we place materiality over what is important. For women, they will say, I can't marry a guy that is not, doesn't have a job, he doesn't have a car, he doesn't have a house. What do you have to put on the table? What do you have to join hands with him to make it work? So it's not the responsibility of the man alone to build a house or a home. It's the responsibility of the two of you. So there has to be an understanding here. And for the guy, he also has to understand that he's going to be the head of the house. So there is a lot of pressure on him. So if he's not ready to marry, don't go into a relationship. At least within a year. So when he knows he's ready, in a year, start looking for. So within a year, at least, you will get married. But if you are not ready, then don't go into a relationship. Because really, the relationship that you are in, what are you doing inside? If you are not committing sin. And when I mean committing sin, I mean fornication. Do you understand? So what is holding you in that relationship that you can't leave it? You love her so much, then marry her. You don't love her, leave her, let her go. If she's yours, she comes back to you.
Okay, now. Do we have more answers? Yeah? Any more answers? And please, if we also have questions, okay, the door is open if you have questions.
Sorry, do you have 1 Corinthians 7? You know, because again, sometimes people don't know. You know, I think one of the biggest things you can take away from church at any point in time is to know that there are answers. Okay, there are answers in the Bible to every human question. I think that's the biggest thing you can take away from church, being a Christian, is to know that if I really wanted to know and I really wanted to get it right, there are answers in the Bible. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36. 36, if you find 36. Okay, it says, but if any man thinks he's behaving improperly towards his virgin, that's towards his, you know, whatever you want to call it, fiancé. Some translations say fiancé. If she's past the flower of youth, so she's not young, she's not the, if she's past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, that is, he was talking about marrying or not marrying. He says, then let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. So if he feels that, look, I'm wasting this lady's time, exactly just what he's asking. And she's complaining and saying, look, what is all this? What are we doing? We are into a relationship. What is the relationship? Where is it going? How long are we going for? And you see, realize it's improper. The Bible says, let them marry. Okay? Let them marry. So meaning that, and if you're not ready, verse 37, You know, if you're not ready, then don't. Why are you in the relationship? What's it for? So it says, nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will. One says has power over his, or has self-control, meaning he can control his passions. Meaning also that if you're not ready to marry and you get in a relationship, then you are also tempting yourself. You are going to put yourself and that person in trouble. Okay, so he says he has no power over his own will and are so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, then he does well also. So if he has decided, look, I can handle myself, it's fine. But if you start coming to the question of, what are we doing? Why are we just in this relationship for how long? The Bible says, let him marry, he does not sin. Okay, meaning that don't just carry on this relationship with no end in sight. You know, we're dating, and very often that happens. Okay, again, I can think of at least two cases where I ask somebody and I say, look, what's going on? When are you people getting married? So I can notify my tailor to start sewing my agbada, you know, and then they tell me, we don't. I say, what's the problem? You know, so somebody I asked and I said, you and this popo. She said, there's no date. I said, really? How long have you been dating this guy? At that point in time, they had been dating for about 5 years. So I said, is he a student? She said, no, he's working. I said, and you are working. I said, because again, if you are working, you are taking care of yourself. He's working, he's feeding himself. Coming together can't make you starve. You even save money. Okay, I'm not talking about wealthy. We've heard about that. I'm not saying he's wealthy, but he's okay. He's feeding himself. You are feeding yourself. If you marry, you can't starve now. Yeah? You will save some money. Maybe both of you were even paying rent before. Now you pay one rent instead of two rents. So you sort yourself out. You know, and I said 5 years at least. You know, and then you have been working. He's not a student. I said, so what are you waiting for? Yeah, I don't know. It's him. I said that before. He's not serious. So, of course, they said that me. I usually ask some tough questions. Incidentally, she had a birthday after that. Shortly after that, I was invited. And when I got there, I said, "Where is he?" So she said that same day. So I went to meet him. I said, "Oga, how are you, sir? Good, nice to meet you. I'm a friend. You know, blah blah blah." I said, "Me, I'm waiting for a date so that I can prepare." My brother, he just looked at me and looked away. So I told her, I said, run for your life. Run for your life. That guy is not ready for anything. But guess what? Shortly after that, she was pregnant. And the guy denied her and the pregnancy. So after how long? And he said she was trying to trap him. I said, Mbanonko. Should you not be trapped? You know, so, but my point is, it was going nowhere. This was a disaster waiting to happen. Okay? We're quiet again. As they say what? If the cap fits, wear it. Okay? Just wear it. Don't let anybody know you are wearing it, but wear it. Amen. Okay, so I think it's almost 8 o'clock. So, Pastor NY, helping us to close this. Huh? Yeah, we have to stop. Or we should carry on. Eh? 15 more minutes. Okay, take one more question.
Okay. We have a lot of questions here. So, this one says, the world is evolving. Things are changing. As a couple, family, or intended couple, how do we manage this in line with the word of God, knowing well that expectations change in relationship as we grow? Just like in the olden days, it was called breakup, but now it is called breakfast in this generation. So the person is saying, you know, as someone who has intention of getting married or who is married already, he's saying here that how do you manage this, knowing well that expectations change in relationship as we grow?
It's very very clear to me.
Okay, let me say it again. He said the world is evolving. Things are changing. As a couple, family, or intended couple, how do we manage this in line with the word of God, knowing well that expectation changes in relationship as we grow? Just like in the olden days, he said it was called breakup, but this generation it is called breakfast. So I'm guessing the person is saying, in terms of expectation changes, it means maybe what the wife would or the husband would want then, as things evolve, you know, the computer age has grown from.
Okay, sir.
Let me help. Yes, things can change from generation to generation. We, our age, the era before us, what happens is that you have people who got married by mere introduction. So my mother visits her friend, and in her friend's house, you just see what lovely son. Say, ah, I love this your son. Ah, my daughter will marry this your son. And then they've never met. One is in Calabar, the other one is in Abia. And then all of a sudden, they just got married like that. We have a lot. Our parents, that's how they got married, by introduction. Ah, my son will marry your daughter. Ah, this beautiful girl. Ah, help me carry back for market. And that's the time. Before you know, relationship, marriage has started. By introduction, mere introduction. Ah, this is Dr. So-so-so. Ah, your son must be like you. So my daughter will match, will fit her his destiny. And that's it. And that's introduction. But you see, the next era, people get to, you know, things change. But there's one fundamental truth that we cannot take away. And that's what I want to hold on to based on what he said. He said, from biblical, so there's one truth we cannot take away from here, and that's that we cannot take away from all of this, and that's that the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If he does not know God, if she does not love God or know God, I don't care how beautiful Miss Ward, Mr. Handsome, Mr. Big Chest, Sixpack, it's a no-no. It's a no-no. That's a strong fundamental principle. First, he must be somebody, or he or she must be somebody who knows God, who loves God. See, if you meet a guy who loves God or a girl who loves God, it doesn't matter whether he's broke, he doesn't have a job or whatever, he will love you, he will honor you, he will treat you just like the principle that he respects, the Bible says. He will love you. She will be submissive to you. But if God is taken out of it, it's like fish out of water, you're just wasting your time. No matter what you do, that's why you meet a lot of people who say, I thought I could change him, or I thought she would change as we grow old. So that's one fundamental principle that can never change. If God is not in the picture, forget it.
Okay.
Let me add. Proverbs 22, verse 28. And if you can, put the Passion Translation. Okay? So some things cut across. They may not do it exactly as they did it then. Okay? People may not get married exactly that same way, but you need to ask, what were the principles? Okay, principles are different from actions. All right, I may decide, what can I use now? I use a broom, okay, to sweep something, and I sweep, or somebody wants to wipe whatever it is. You need to wipe the wall, or you need to clean a car. Okay, there are differences in, if I decide I'm wiping it top down, or I just do like this, yeah? And I'm just swiping around. Now, if they say do it this way, you'll need to ask why. Okay? Now, even if you change the method or the movement of the hand, the principle for doing it that way, okay, must remain. If that was a good principle, you must stick with that good principle. Okay? So the methodology and whatever might change a bit here and there, but the principles, you must be careful to guard the good principles that guide those kinds of things. So Proverbs 22:28, it says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. The Passion Translation, do you have that? You don't have it. Okay, let me read that. The Passion Translation says, the previous generation has set boundaries in place. Don't you dare move them just to benefit yourself. The previous generation has set boundaries in place. Don't dare move them just to benefit yourself. You just want to benefit and enjoy something, and so you ignore all of those things. I mean, in recent times, I had to, you know, discuss with my son, and I was telling him, you know, you want to go out, and the reason why I said, make sure you are back home by this time of the day is because it will get dark. You know, and for him, he felt, yeah, so if it gets dark, and I said, no. Every criminal activity increases multiple folds in the dark. You know, all the, I mean, that's why they say, well, the children of men love darkness rather than light because the works of their hands are evil. Okay, why? Because in darkness, you can hide many things. I said, that's why you'll find that people who ordinarily are just going about their simple, honest business, most times don't stay out late. Okay, they don't stay out late because there's really nothing you are doing out late. And when you are out late and it's very dark, if I'm going down the road, I'm just going for a walk, and it's very dark, if I'm being attacked, nobody will see. If I'm there and they attack me for 5 minutes, there's a lower chance that somebody will even walk by because it's very dark now. So the later it gets, I said, the more the crime increases. So it's not about whether you're a big boy because they feel now that they are a big boy. I said, it's not whether you're a big boy or not. It's just because the risk increases. And that's why even as an adult, you don't just run around in the dark because it's just not the safest period to be out. Okay? So that's the principle behind it that I'm trying to tell him. Of course, if somebody's job entails that he needed to be out, he'll be out. But I was just telling him there's a reason behind it, and that reason must be guarded. It doesn't matter which generation you are. You must guard that reason and understand that this is why this is done this way. Okay, you were going to say something.
Okay, so I just wanted to add to what Mr. Sajiri said. The question also already answered the question. He said, in line with God's word. So the truth of the matter is that once you are able to understand what God is saying concerning marriage and the foundation of marriage, then you are on the right track. So what is the foundation that you are standing on when you got married? You both believe in God. The word of God is there to guide you in different areas. Like Sethman has said, there is nothing in this world that the Bible has not addressed. Fine, the world is changing, and the truth of the matter is that it's changing at a fast rate and also a very frightening rate and dimension. But the truth of the matter is that we still have to have that foundation to understand what we are doing. So, for example, you are both working, and then you come back, and a woman is sitting and telling the husband, go and cook. To me, I find that very, when people say it, I laugh. The truth of it is that, how was it in the days? How is it supposed to be now? I'm not saying that I don't have an understanding. So if your husband loves cooking, and he can cook, and the two of you agree that, okay, you will cook today when we get home, I'm tired. Do you understand? Yes, let him cook. But if he can't cook, and then you are now saying, I'm tired, I can't cook, go and drink garri. That is the beginning of your problem, whether you like it or not. Because you are telling him indirectly that you are not able to take the responsibility of the world, of the relationship. Every day things change in marriages. Today, now you have to watch what your children are watching, whether on the internet or on TV. Things are happening fast. What they read, you have to try and see that it's okay for them to read it because there are different things that they are feeding them in different ways. So you have to stand up to the responsibility and stand on God's word also and pray. Because in this world, we have to pray. You have to pray and understand what you're doing, basically. So please, don't let this changing world, like you said, break up and break fast. The truth of the matter is that they are both what? Breakups. They are the same thing. They are just giving them different names. So the principle is the same. How you do it might be different, but you still need to stand on that principle.
I want to start wahala. The women, female empowerment. Okay. So. Okay.
This question goes to the guys. What do single guys really want?
Okay, I think it's a good spot to end it. Or is there any single guy that wants to say what it is? They say Ife is the one that is picky. That's what they are saying. Sunday is fine. He doesn't want too much. Abi Sunday. Okay.
Okay, guys, let's see something.
Since they are not answering. Okay. So anyway, you can start coming up to.
Praise the Lord. We need peace. Number one. Submissive. Yes. And secondly, can I ask one question? Okay. Maybe I've been in love with someone else. And I love her. Initially, I didn't know her well. Then suddenly, I begin to experience some things inside the relationship. So what will I do? Yeah. Okay. Initially, I met her for like a year plus. And she was very obedient. And at the same time, I observe maybe she have an issue that I don't like or I don't welcome. So now tell my parents, what will I do? And they say, no, don't dare you to. It's better you quit. And I love her. Yeah. So what will I do?
I was trying to get this question. You were saying something about so it depends on the issue that you told them, because you can't do a blanket answer. So you have to know the issue. No. So if you can see me later, maybe you cannot tell the issue, but you have to. That's the important thing. You have to. That issue must be very clear. Then we'll be able to answer.